Welcome to Loud and Clear, a podcast dedicated to amplifying the voices of women in music. I'm your host, Olivia Adams, and welcome to our series called YXC Divas, the artistic voices behind the Saskatoon Symphony Orchestra's upcoming show. As part of this series, I'm interviewing each of the solo artists featured in this show, and we're releasing episodes as a lead up to the event. With over 20 years of multi-genre vocal training, Elise Evangelista is an accomplished vocalist and performer. After graduating from the Performing Arts Program at Sheridan College and the Musical Theatre Program at St. Lawrence College in Ontario, Elise performed in a variety of lead roles in Toronto, including Elsa in The Sound of Music, Chiffon in The Little Shop of Horrors, and Ursula in The Little Mermaid. Thereafter, she discovered her true passion of pop singing, performing with cover band Sundown, allowing her to tap into her own personal sound while singing a variety of pop, indie, and soft rock classics. As of May 2020, Elise opened her own vocal training studio, Authentic Voice Studios, in Saskatoon. Elise caters to singers of all ages, skill levels, and genres. One of her many coaching strengths is working with singer-songwriters to help craft their original songs for recordings. Elise helps the artists create unique and authentic songs to add to the world of music. After years of working with a multitude of singers, Elise became a certified life coach to assist clients through their own limiting beliefs in order to be more fulfilled in their voices and lives. Today, it is my pleasure to chat with Elise Evangelista. Welcome. I'm so excited to be chatting with you. How are you doing, Elise?
I'm doing great today. Thank you so much for having me, Olivia. This is awesome.
My pleasure. I'm so excited to chat with each of the individual artists. There's such a range from hip hop to solo singers to folk singers to classical. We're going to get a whole variety. So I'm excited to be chatting with you. But I like to start all of my interviews with the same question. And that is, what led you down the path of becoming a musician?
Well, it all started very young for me. I was one of those people who even before they could talk with singing. So I was just one of those kids that really, really loved music. And my parents saw that. And my parents were very supportive. So at three, I started piano lessons with the lady next door to us, two doors down, Edna Thiessen. And I took piano lessons through the RCM with her. So I started with that. But then, yeah, my mother and father could see that I always would sing along with the piano when I was playing. So they looked into singing lessons, and I started singing lessons around seven with Marilyn Whitehead here in Saskatoon. So I'm sure you know of Marilyn.
Of course.
yeah. And so I did Fireside Singers and all that. And then we did music festivals every year. So we compete with variety of genres. So we're singing Italian and German and all these different classical genres. And then there'd also be music theater, which I have gravitated to a lot more. I'm a pretty dramatic person, I guess. Having that outlet to like express myself authentically, which is something that I really value and have come to value. So I gravitated toward music theater. So my parents encouraged me to pursue it as a career. So I got into school in Toronto, first at Sheridan for a year, and then went to St. Lawrence College in Brockville. So yeah, that was kind of my way of getting through to my musicianship. And then after graduating, performed in a few musicals, and then ultimately decided that singing was really my passion, not so much the acting and dancing portion of the music theater. So I just decided to join a cover band, which I would sing a variety of songs, so from like Adele to Tom Petty and different pop rock classics. So that felt a lot like more like me, honestly. And even though music theater felt like me at the time, I kind of went more into, I think I'm interesting enough on my own. I just kind of want to play myself. So I decided to start doing cover bands and things like that. And then at the same time, I was taking vocal lessons from Elaine Overholt in Toronto, who works with a lot of recording artists and pop artists and all this. And so at the time, I was just closing Little Mermaid, and I ended up starting to work for her as a manager at the vocal training studio out there. So yeah, that's kind of how I got into teaching and everything as well. So it kind of led into this beautiful transformation of singing in my life and all these different genres that brought me to where I am today. So yeah.
I love that. And I love that I find that there's no sort of connection conventional path to become a musician. And like you said, you're arriving in like the classical area, and then you went musical theater, and then you went pop. And it was almost this sort of zigzag along the spectrum of music. And one of my favorite writers, Emily P. Freeman, always says, you know, just because you're good at something doesn't mean you have to do it your whole life.
Totally.
And I think that's like one of the, like, you don't have to stick with the thing. Like, you might be good at that, but you could also explore, right? And follow your curiosity.
Yeah, absolutely. I 100% agree with that. And that's why, I started my own studio.
Amazing. So let's talk about that next. You're a vocal coach and you run a studio in Saskatoon. Can you talk more about what led you to opening up Authentic Voice? And I'd love to hear more about why you chose the Authentic Voice as your sort of MO. Yeah. Can you talk more about that?
Yeah. So like I mentioned, I had started, managing Big Voice Studios is what it's called in Toronto. And so as a manager, I would sit in and listen to all these different wide variety of voices. Again, coming from music theater, or even classical, I found that the tone was quite similar between those two genres, even though there were small differences. You know, the technique and the form of music theater and even classical singing, I think, fall into this kind of more regimented tone, I would say. Right. And so in pop singing, or when you're writing original music, you're hearing all these voices that are, voices that I hadn't heard, you know, and that were so different, you know, the people that you hear on the radio. So like, if you hear Beyonce, you really know it's her voice, or Billie Eilish, and all these people who are so unique in their tone. Anyway, so I hadn't really been around singer-songwriters growing up. I didn't have any opportunities. So that kind of unlock the door to, wow, you don't actually just need a big voice. You need any voice. You can use absolutely anything and have this, you know, career in music. So when I worked there for several years and then eventually started teaching with recording artists, I fell in love with finding what made that artist unique. I would just listen to them sing and try and get them as grounded as possible and say, what's different about you? I want to bring that out, whatever that may be. And at some point it might've been something that, I don't know, they were made fun of. So for like a vibrato that was different, or some tone, a low tone. And coming from music theater, it was always about how high you can sing, how high you can belt, show your stuff kind of thing. And I was just in awe of all these performers who had these quiet, meek voices that were emoting with such emotion and just raw energy, I guess. And it really resonated with me. So when I decided to open up my studio, I didn't want to label it as, you know, you have to be a certain whatever. I just want you to be yourself. And I think that's what makes such a great artist nowadays, is you're not listening and to anyone but your own inner voice kind of thing, and letting that guide you through your music and through your life. So when I moved here during the pandemic, everything kind of changed, right? As we know. So in 2020, I decided, to move back to Saskatoon and start my own business with this idea that I want to work with everyone and anyone who wants to learn how to connect to themselves more and then express themselves through music. So I decided to open up my own business. Yeah.
You know, there's this dedication to finding like what makes you a singer as individual students, because I think that especially I work in a lot of classical music spaces. It's how uniform can we make everyone? How, like, can you sing this perfectly? Can you play this perfectly as it's being written down?
Yeah.
Right. And there's so much of a push to be exactly like the score or exactly like such and such a recording, but to be able to find your own voice within that and how you fit, I think that's so empowering, especially for young people.
I think so too. And again, growing up, there's such a, again, you're learning the basic techniques of the instrument, right?
Of
I think
course.
There's such a benefit. It's just like reading and writing, you know, it's such a benefit to learn the foundation of singing. And it benefited me greatly having that classical voice training. However, it takes you, into this place of kind of like in the box thinking, right? So when I was around, you know, singer-songwriters, I was like, these people do not think inside the box. These people are, there is no box for these people. It just felt very, you know, organic, and the ideas were flowing, and it was just a different state, you know, when you're not confined to a certain thing. But I completely agree with you that just makes the singer, I think it makes it more enjoyable to sing as well, to find that thing that makes you you and kind of lean into it as opposed to trying to be perfect, which it doesn't exist. So
exactly. Perfect art does not exist. I have to ask you, because you said you started your studio during the pandemic and you made a cross-country move during the pandemic. What was that like starting a studio completely online? And then now I'm assuming that lots of things have transitioned to in-person, but also, I mean, I'm still doing online lessons. I still have students, some that have moved away, that they're still taking, you know, online lessons. What does that look like for you?
Yeah. So during the pandemic, I had primarily Toronto students, right? And then we had switched, I think it was around March that time, where we had switched to online just as a precaution. So we had already started doing Zoom lessons with the studio and all that. So it was kind of like this seamless transition into a way into, yeah, when I moved back, I, again, honored the studio and said, you know, if you'd like to come with me, you can, but if not, no worries. And so I had quite a few students that would stay with me online. So I built this online platform. And then again, once I moved to Saskatoon, kind of just promoting it online and saying, I'm here, I'm starting this new studio and kind of just, yeah, online. I have some clients that after 2 years of working with them online, I finally met them in person. It was like, that's the rest of your body. That's crazy. You know, like, you know, it's definitely a great experience in person. I just think energy wise and everything, it's that much better in person. But yeah, so it was kind of, again, a great resource to be able to continue to work online. Like, what a blessing that was. And so, yeah, I just took my time building the studio online and then eventually ended up purchasing a home here that I now work out of. So yeah, it wasn't easy by any means, starting something from nothing almost. So, but I had that training running the studio in Toronto for 6 mm-hmm. years. So I thought, you know what, if I could do it there, I could do it anywhere. So okay.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's how I started it.
Fantastic. Like you had already mentioned, like as part of your work, you've sung in so many different genres. Do you also coach in multiple genres? And then do you yourself still sing in cross genres? Do you find that challenging or do you find it they can feed into each other?
Yeah, I find teaching it quite easy. I have a few go-to things. Like I said, I primarily work with singer-songwriters. So it's mostly country, pop. There's an artist I work with in, she lives in just outside of Toronto. Her name's Madison Galloway. She's fantastic, but she's like a rock and blues artist.
Amazing.
So it's like, yeah, I have these, but they all kind of transition in that more popular music genre. The biggest, I mean, most difficult transition was when I was actually performing consistently in the genre. So when I went from Sound of Music to Little Mermaid, it was like soprano land, crazy high, you know, chanting like nuns, everything, to Ursula, which is like almost pop singing and it's very low. So it took a while for my like larynx to come back down and sing those lower notes. That was probably the hardest transition. But now, yeah, I do primarily one-off shows here and there is more my preference now, just lifestyle based and yeah, just energy wise. It's just, it's more my thing. So I have months to prepare or whatever for a wedding or whatever I end up singing at. So it's not that difficult for me now. But yeah, when I was doing 8 shows a week, it was quite the transition for sure.
I can imagine. Man, going from Sound of Music to Little Mermaid, I'm just thinking like that transition is so huge.
No. And the craziest thing is I went from Little Shop of Horrors, which is even more pop, to Sound of Music. And again, my cast members from Little Shop came to Sound of Music and they were like, you're a different person. That's not same voice. Like that is, it's a completely different genre, but it's because I had that, you know, significant amount of training that I could just kind of fall back on it. So yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was really cool. Mm-hmm.
Do you find that you work with clients, like even younger or just younger students that as you're teaching that want to sort of dabble in multiple genres?
Yeah. So that's kind of what I offer that a lot of other coaches don't. I think a lot of people do follow, again, once you have a bachelor's in music, you kind of follow that curriculum quite, whether it's, you know, RCM or what have you. So I'm more of a joy-based teacher. So I find not that it's not joyful to be regimented, but I think at a young age I think kids know what they want at a young age. more than we lose that as we age. So mm-hmm. I think kids are just, I want to sing this. And it's just, okay, let's explore that. And then the next day they, you know, watch another TV show and learn this new song. And they're like, I love this song. Let's do this. It's just very clear for them what they want to do. So yeah, I kind of let them guide intuitively what they want to experience. And then, you know, mesh in a little bit of technique and things like that to push them forward. But I work with primarily teenage and adults. So mm-hmm. they pretty much know kind of what genre they're in or what they enjoy to at that point. So yeah, it's completely dependent on the artist. Yeah.
I love that you said you're a joy-based teacher. That's a great slogan.
Yeah. I just want to have fun. You know, I've done all different types of training. And I think the coolest part was just getting to know myself at a later age. So if I can implement that into younger kids and tell them to trust themselves now, you'll save 20 years of your life trying to figure it out, you know, sit with what feels good. Yeah,
for sure. And you're right. Like a lot of times kids know what they want and it changes. But you know, like one week I have students come in, well, okay, I want to learn this sonata that I heard on the radio. Okay, let's do it. And oh, the next week, I want to play a Taylor Swift song. Can we mix that in? Right. Or like, yes. I just rewatched The Lion King. Can we learn one of those? Right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's just, yeah, I just don't think creativity is linear. Yes. And I don't think it should be, this is right, this is wrong. Mm-hmm. If you want to sing in 3/4 time and then switch it to something else, let's do it. Let's figure out how to make it work. You know, it's like that creativity is what creates new music. It's what creates, you know, new sounds and everything. You say it only should be this way. I just think it limits people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And especially at that younger age, you don't want to stifle, well, at any age, you don't want to stifle that creativity by saying, no, you need to learn this, right? Like you said, sprinkle the technique in. Of course, the technique's important.
Of course.
And you don't want to give students, you know, things that they're not ready for. And at the same time, allow for that creativity, because why not?
Why not? Exactly. Yeah, follow what makes you feel good. That's what I always say. Feels good. Let's do it.
As you know so well, artists, we wear so many hats in a day. Could you tell us what a day might look like as an independent musician?
Yeah, so every single day is different, as you know, depending on the artist I'm working on. Sometimes I'm working with someone who has a month to prep for a recording or something like that. So I'm, you know, listening to demos they're sending me, and I'm giving feedback even through email, just listening to, you know, different songs and giving my opinion before they go in and record the vocal. So that kind of happens in the morning time. I never usually work before noon, mostly because no one wants to sing before noon. It seems like a thing.
One of the beauties of being a music teacher.
Yeah, I love it. So yeah, so it'll be that kind of stuff, admin stuff in the mornings. And then yeah, teaching usually throughout the afternoon to mid evening. And yeah, with all different types of artists. So one person could be, you know, going in to record an album tomorrow. Next person could be a 50-year-old who wants to reconnect with their voice from childhood. You know, it's like this absolutely insane dynamic of variety, which I haven't found anywhere else in my life. And that's why I love it so much. It's just, you never know what's going to come through the door that day, or where that artist is going to be at, or what they need from you. And it's just it's the most thrilling job. I'm very blessed to have it.
Absolutely. I mean, I agree with you. I'm like, I love my job. I love being a teacher. And also I'm like, I still get to perform. I still get to record things. I still get, you know, all of those aspects.
Yeah. It's absolutely amazing. And to record and just be a part of the creative process, I think is just, it's just one of the best feelings to see something come from two lyrics, like two beginning verses, to being on the radio. It's like, wow, it really happened. All those things happen. And it's such a cool thing to be a part of.
Fantastic. Well, you have an upcoming concert with the Saskatoon Symphony, which is why I've asked you to come on the podcast today and why we're chatting. I wonder if you can talk a little bit more about that program and what our audience can look forward to. Can you tell us what you're going to sing, or is it under wraps still?
No, I don't believe it's under wraps. Yeah, so we were able to choose our own material. I know that some people are doing original work and covers, so I decided to do two covers. I'll be singing Feeling Good by Nina Simone, as well as Natural Woman by Aretha Franklin. So two big diva artists who have these big voices, but more than anything, I connect with both these songs. Again, it's all about feeling good in your own skin and feeling natural and just being yourself. So I'm at kind of at the point in my life where I only like singing songs I can relate to. I'm not in the acting mode of pretending, you know, my boyfriend just broke up with me or whatever. You know, it's like, I like being present. I like singing things that make me feel good. And ultimately, hopefully I can give that to the audience in Saskatoon as well, is just show them how to just be in the moment and enjoy good music, which I hope this show gives to everyone, is just a great night of fun and real talent. There's some great singers that are accompanying me, and it's just going to be a night of great singing and great orchestra.
Yeah. And that's so nice that you get to pick. I mean, Mark's awesome. You know, you get to pick your own music. Lots of times when you work with an orchestra, the music is prescribed to you, and this is what you will play, or this is what you will sing. And you have to decide whether you want to say yes or no to that opportunity. But how cool to be able to, you know, be presented with the opportunity of like, hey, what do you want to sing?
Totally. And it's a first for me, other than being in the band. I was always, yeah, here's your score, learn these to the letter and, you know, perform. So it's definitely a different type of show, and I'm very excited to be a part of it, just to have that freedom again to be myself and sing with such a talented orchestra. So it's going to be fantastic.
What is it like to get to perform with your hometown orchestra? Have you sung with an orchestra before?
Yeah, so I've sung with orchestras doing music theater. We always have like a multi-piece orchestra. Yeah, I've never sang with the SSO, so I'm very, very excited. And just to network with all those wonderful musicians and get to know everyone and create this hopefully very organic, wonderful performance. So I'm very much looking forward to it. About the arrangement and just having all these big instruments, especially in Feeling Good, it has all these big moments, and it just, I can already hear the strings and everything. I'm very, very excited to perform those songs specifically with an orchestra. I think it's going to be fantastic.
Did you have a say in the arrangement? Like, I'm assuming, I know that SSO does a lot of original arrangements and stuff. Did you have a say in that?
I think it's going to be a process of kind of back and forth. So we'll get the tracks and things like that and kind of work through that. But I did pick my so.
Well, that's important.
Those are the most important things to me, as long as you do it in those keys. And so that collaborative, once we get together and kind of run it a few times and find that balance of what works, should be quite the experience. I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, that's exciting. So, I mean, besides working on the show with the SSO, what are you enjoying in your musical life right now? What's bringing you joy?
Oh, so many things, but mostly just working with these fantastic artists that are up and comers, who I feel like I have this personal in of hearing their voices before everyone else. And I'm just so excited for their music to come out, but also just listening for new artists. I mean, I don't know if you're a Spotify user, but there's this Discover Weekly playlist that kind of suggests these new upcoming people that not many artists have heard of that you may like. So I'm always on there listening and just discovering new people. And even in Saskatoon, there's tons of artists here who just really don't have the platform. And so I'm grateful to be here to kind of encourage them to pursue that, because my experience and just the people I've worked with and the sounds I've heard, that people trust my opinion on their voice. So I really encourage people just to follow their passion, regardless of how hard it may be. I think that that's what a lot of people get, is not to pursue it because it'll be difficult. Everything's difficult. You might as well do something you love. So
that is totally true, right? Yeah. Like, I mean, there's that old trope of like, you know, if you're doing what you love, you'll never work a day in your life. But is that true? Like, when you love something, you work really hard.
You do. Yeah, absolutely. But you want to, because it's fun, right? It's a worthwhile thing to work towards, because it's difficult. But like I said, at least you're working towards something that brings you joy and feels good to do. Not everyone can say that about their job. So it's such a privilege to be in the music industry in whatever capacity you are. I think it's a beautiful journey.
Absolutely. So what are you working on right now? What can we look forward to from you?
Well, I'm in this show with SSO.
Yes.
But yeah, no, I'm actually just always writing. Ever since kind of starting my own business and things, I've had more creative juices and also just more time, because I'm not managing other teachers or I'm not doing anything. You know, I get the time to explore my own creativity, which I never really had the opportunity to do in Toronto. So just writing more music. I hope one day I'll release an album and things like that. But at this point, I'm just still discovering what kind of music I want to put out there and what I want to say and things like that. So hopefully music in the future. And I'm also currently writing my first book, which is a new endeavor for me.
Fantastic. Congratulations.
Thank you. So hopefully that comes to fruition in the next year. And yeah, just about choosing yourself and connecting to yourself so that you can live a more authentic, joyful life. So those are the things that you can look out for me in the future. And then, yeah, just all these wonderful artists I can't stop talking about, because it's just so cool to be a part of these other wonderful people who really want to perform and really want to share their music with people. And to be a part of that is my absolute favorite thing. So,
well, when that book releases, will you come back on the podcast and talk about it? I would love that.
I absolutely will. Yes, yes.
Fantastic. Well, just because you mentioned it, before I get to our rapid fire wrap up questions, what is it like as a vocal coach and somebody who works with singer-songwriters to be in the audience of one of the clients that you've worked with and you've seen their progression and to fill a room and to perform and grow into that? Can you describe what that feeling is like as a teacher?
Yeah. I had one particular artist, he's a country artist in Saskatoon, and I started working with him right in the pandemic. He was one of like my beginner Saskatoon clients. And I think after about 2 years of working together, he opened his first show at the Odeon. Well, it's not, it's Coors Event Center now in Saskatoon.
Right.
A large, you know, event center. And I remember going and watching him there and just thinking, nobody knows how much he's worked on this or anything, but they're all so happy to be there and enjoying the experience. And that's, I think, why I do what I do, is to just create more art in the world and to create more music and to create, you know, a place where people can get together and, you know, just really feel that amazing energy that comes from music. So to describe the feeling is just, I'm just so happy for the person that they, again, wherever they started, whether they never recorded or anything, and now they're performing and recording, to watch them realize their dreams and that they stuck with and made it happen. I think it's a very cool thing to be a part of, and just so happy that there are people out there who are willing to risk it and go for, you know, their passion and their dream. You know, to be a part of that is extremely rare. And yeah, I really love being a part of it. It's an incredible feeling.
That's wonderful. Well, it's been such a pleasure getting to chat with you. We're going to wrap up our conversation with a few rapid fire questions. Now, because we're on a new season, I've changed up the questions a bit. There are no wrong answers. So just go with your gut. The one question that has not changed, can you point to a moment when you knew you wanted to be a musician?
The only moment I can really think of is when I decided to go to music theater, and I got the privilege to go to New York and watch Idina Menzel in Wicked. Oh. Yeah, I was like 14 years old. And when she sang Defying Gravity, the energy in that room was nuclear. It was incredible. It was like, and now I understand that the voice and the energy and everything is what I loved most about it. But I just thought, I have to be a part of this forever. It was just like the best feeling. Again, that energetic, just hearing incredible music through your ears. It was life-changing for sure. So that's when I kind of decided that I was going to do it forever.
That's awesome. What is your Desert Island album?
I would say the one go-to that I always just ask Siri to play whenever is Adele 25. Top to bottom, never a skip. Love that album. Love that album.
And always in order. Always in order,
so
for
good.
Sure.
So good.
Love it. Do you have a pre-performance ritual? And what is it?
Yeah, I mean, just like vocal warm-up, steaming, no dairy. That's my go-to, so my voice is good. But yeah, just relax during the day, you know, take the time to get connected to my body. And yeah, always run through the song a few times or whatever I'm performing in the shoes that I'm performing in. Very key. Very
yes.
Key.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, if you could give one piece of musical advice to a fellow musician out there, what would it be?
I feel like I've said it a million times today, but do what feels good to you and trust your gut. I think we inherently know exactly what we want in our life, but voices of others and, you know, we're easily influenced to not trust ourselves. So I'd say trust yourself, create exactly what you want. do it.
Thank you so much for coming on Loud and Clear, Elise. This has been great. Do you mind letting our audience know where they can find you?
Yeah, so you can contact me on my website at www.authenticvoicestudios.com. All my contact information is on there, as well as links to my Instagram. And you can, yeah, if you're interested in online lessons, all across Canada, I work with people, and in person in Saskatoon. So that's where you can find me.
Fantastic. I will have links to all of the music and things that we discussed in the show notes so that people don't have to go searching for that. So everything will be linked. But thanks so much again, Elise, for coming on and chatting with me. This has been great.
So nice meeting you. Thanks so much for having me.
And that is going to do it for this episode of the Loud and Clear podcast. Don't forget to please leave us a rating or written review on your podcasting app of choice. It really helps others to find our show and to help us continue making this for you. I am so enjoying getting to bring you these conversations from the incredible artists from Saskatoon. Saskatoon, again, is my hometown. I live in Ontario, but my heart will always be part of the prairies. And so it's just been wonderful getting to talk with the amazing talent in Saskatoon and to bring you the voices behind the YXE Divas show. So don't forget to tune in next week. If you are subscribed, that new episode will drop right in your podcasting app on Tuesdays. And if you're not subscribed, maybe now is a great time to hit the plus sign or follow on your podcasting app, and you'll be subscribed to hear our next YXE Diva. Thanks so much for tuning in. My name is Olivia Adams. This is Loud and Clear, and you can find me at oamusicstudios.ca or OA Music Studios on social. Bye for now.